You have the floor, Steve.
Okay, thank you very much. What I'm going to try to do here is give a little bit more detailed explanation of what the building structures equipment at the DCP site would consist of when once built. And then, as Bruce said, after that we'll get into what the post-construction vegetation and buffering plans are. First, I'd just like to point out all of this information, and I think Bruce mentioned it, has been and will remain available at the town office. It's been there for about a year and a half now, starting with the DEP application that was submitted then last summer that came in again as part of the Army Corps application, and then in May of this year, the same information was put in the local application. So if you have additional questions, certainly this is all there and been available for quite some time. So we'll start out with a description of what this facility will look like and a little bit of how it will operate. Initially, of course, the LPG will come in on ocean-going vessels and dock at the Sprague Dry Cargo Pier. The material will be already refrigerated to lower than minus 40 Fahrenheit to keep it liquid. Once at the dock, and then I don't have in this view, in order to try to make the terminal site itself big enough for people to see, we didn't include all the length of the pipeline, but we certainly have drawings of that available should someone want to see that. But the ships will offload into what's called the transfer pipe at the dock. That pipe will travel through the Sprague facility up an existing dirt road that north of the Sprague terminal, known as Sprague Way Lane, under Station Avenue for a short distance, and then under the entrance road to the facility up to the piping that enters the bulk storage tank itself, which is right there. The tank has a 202-foot diameter. It's 2 inches short of 138 feet at the top of the dome. Has vertical wall heights of 102 feet. It would hold 22.7 million gallons of liquid propane. And the tank will maintain that liquid at minus 42, minus 44 degrees below zero Fahrenheit. And that is the way in which it keeps the propane as a liquid because of its cold temperature. There's no pressure needed at that temperature, therefore it's not a pressurized tank. Within the tank, at the surface of that liquid, regardless of the temperature of the remaining liquid in there, you're going to have some vaporization of propane. It's called boil-off vapors. So that will occur over time. That evaporation process itself helps to keep the liquid cold, but isn't sufficient entirely. So after a period of time, those vapors start to accumulate in the dome of the tank. They would then be routed to a refrigeration unit, which would consist of...
Excuse me, Steve. Do you have a pointer for that showing
the
difference?
I'm about to point out the next component. I mean, we're at the tank here. So as these vapors accumulate in the top of the tank, they are routed to refrigeration units, which consist of first compressors that are located in this building right here. That is, let me check this. 65 feet long, 45 feet wide, and about 50 feet tall. There are three, one stage and two second stage compressors in that building. They take the vapors, compress them, and then route the compressed vapor or liquid to what is known as the cooler recondenser, which cools the liquid further so that it can then be returned right back to the tank as liquid. So that's a closed system that's going on all the time. captures the what vapors escape, returns them to a liquid form, puts them back into the tank. Now, when there are periods of prolonged power outages, the refrigeration unit will not be available to continue that process of re-liquefying the vapors and putting them back into the tank. So on those occasions, and again, it's primarily during prolonged power outages, those vapors build up in the tank, and in order to avoid pressurization, are routed to the emergency flare, which is right there. The flare is 75 feet tall. It's about a 20-inch diameter stack. And that flare will combust, burn the vapors, which is really an air pollution control device, so that the vapors aren't released directly to the atmosphere. So that pretty much describes what the storage system is. We can move on to the distribution, the loading and distribution facilities. Initially, certainly, the propane will be distributed from the terminal to various points in Maine by transport truck. The trucks will enter through the entrance drive here off Station Avenue, stage here, waiting for permission to enter the loading station. Truck loading station is located here. There are three truck loading racks. Once at the loading station, ready to be filled, the propane is routed through propane fired heaters that warm the liquid, but also pressurize it so that then it enters these tanks as a pressurized liquid. Enters the trucks, I'm sorry. Once filled, the trucks then exit onto Route 1, going either north or south to whatever destination the propane is headed for. Now, in addition to truck transport or distribution by truck, DCP hopes to build a rail car loading facility down in this area, down adjacent to the existing main Montreal and Atlantic Railroad. The rail loading station would consist of a short spur line, or a couple spur lines coming off the tracks, where you could get line up some rail cars and be able to move them around so that you can load several cars. I believe it's designed to load three at once. It's basically the same system. The propane from the tank is heated, pressurized, and pumped into the rail cars. Now it's under pressure, and therefore it still is a liquid, and then they would leave by rail to wherever the destination is. The pumps themselves are right up here within the containment, and that just reminds me, one thing I should have mentioned about the tank is this entire structure here is a containment wall that will hold more than the entire contents of the tank in the extremely unlikely event of a failure. That's the design criteria is that it has to be able to hold all of the liquid that would be in the tank. It's a masonry wall surrounded by an earthen berm that will be riprap for stability. This structure right here is the sump that we've talked about a little bit. The containment, inside the containment is all sloped so that any liquid that comes from the tank, large or small, would move it rapidly away from the tank to the sump and provide separation of that liquid from the contents of the tank. There's just a few other ancillary buildings on the site. This is the administration building here. For employee use and monitoring equipment. This small building right here is the Motor Control Center, MCC building. That's where all the automated controls for operating the facility are located. So that's really the brains of the whole operation located in this building right here. And I think that pretty much describes it. Thank you, Jamie. One thing, there are a couple of additional tanks that we should discuss. Down here is a 90,000 gallon propane tank that provides fuel for the propane fired heaters that are located up here. So, and it also serves as a place if the rail car is loaded and it's determined there's some sort of problem with the rail car, then it can be, the rail car can be emptied back into that tank and taken out of service. So that tank resides down there. I did not mention at either loading facility the fact that as either the trucks or the rail cars are loaded, ethyl mercaptan, an odorant, is pumped into the gas so that the end user has the benefit of an odorized product, and so that it makes it much easier for them to detect leaks. The mercaptan tanks for the truck loading are located up here. And David, do you think of anything else I should mention here? I guess I just thought of one thing. I mean, right here, originally there was an emergency fire water tank proposed that's no longer necessary due to agreements made with the town in order to help improve the water supply down Station Avenue. So the tank isn't necessary, but there is an emergency. The fire pump is located right there in order for fire suppression as needed. And the only other piece of equipment I think worth mentioning right now is in the MCC building, there's an emergency generator. Both the fire pump and the emergency generator are diesel fired. If there's a problem with the facility shut down, you don't want to depend on propane for your emergency energy source. And I think that covers what I wanted to get into.
Thank you, Steve. Okay.
So we can move on.
Post vegetation.
Yep, okay. In terms of vegetation, I think what I'd like to do is start kind of at the outside and work in and tell you what's not going to be changed or disturbed, and then we'll move into the interior of the site. If we start here at the lot here at the corner of Station Avenue and Route 1, this darker green area here it will remain undisturbed. The trees that are growing there now will remain as they are to grow and thicken over the years. So that area right there will remain wooded. Will provide buffering in this direction for both visual noise buffering, and all of these wooded areas also help to maintain some wildlife habitat for the critters that are living in the areas. Moving down here, DCP now owns this lot of land here, which will remain untouched and wooded. Same function as a buffer for visual noise impacts and wildlife habitat. Their property contains this triangular piece down here at the bottom of the hill. This part here is wooded. That will stay just as it is. As you move up this side, they will also own the shorefront land on the east side of the tracks. That remains untouched and provides additional buffering for the facility. So that's the area, those are the areas, there's a small area right here, right near the entrance, I'm sorry, the exit road, that would also remain as is. Nothing gets removed in there other than just a little bit of a piece right in there to allow the trucks the visibility they need in order to pull out under Route 1. So those are areas that remain wooded. The next color green here would be cleared and revegetated with grass. These darker green areas, the grass would be allowed to reach about a foot tall or so before cutting, so that they'd be cut periodically during the year, but not routinely. The purpose for that, the reason for that, is it improves the quality of stormwater runoff. It's part of the stormwater management plan and treatment plan. Here is, by the way, this is a stormwater treatment structure right here. It's called a gravel bed filter. The runoff will, from the site, will ultimately end up in here and get treated as it filters down through the gravel bed that's underneath there and then gets discharged off-site. There's another one of those structures right here, and there was one up in here that doesn't show up on this drawing. After the taller grass, you can see some lighter green here. That's additional grass, but that will be mowed pretty much like you would mow your lawn. These here areas up here, of course, are paved areas. This is an access road down to the rail loading spur. The brown color is gravel or stone. So the inside of the containment is primarily gravel. In these areas here, either gravel or crushed stone, where equipment is located, and the vegetation can't be allowed to grow because of fire safety reasons. Lastly, if you look, the town ordinances require buffering of an industrial use that is adjacent to a residential lot, a lot that's being used as a residence. There are residential lots here on Station Avenue. They're zoned commercial, but nevertheless they have houses on them. So the requirement in the ordinance is that a 20-foot wide buffer of evergreen or deciduous plantings be put in there to provide a visual and noise buffer. So that reddish strip of ground right there is where those plantings would occur, and there's another section right down here adjacent again to the residential lot that would be planted following construction with deciduous evergreen trees. The other requirement in the ordinance is that if a commercial use is adjacent to a residential lot, that buffering be provided in the form of trees, a wall, fencing, that sort of thing. And so along this property line here, an 8-foot wide fence is proposed, 8-foot tall fence is proposed that to serve as that buffer to the commercial use over here for this residential lot. So that's the landscaping plan that we feel would meet the requirements of the ordinance. But as over the course of the several months we've been meeting with the board, and certainly this week, we've heard an awful lot of concern expressed by abutters and others in town about buffering, about visual impact, and all of those issues. So what I want to show you now is it's a revised plan, a little more detail put in it for everything. These are all the same. Everything is the same except for this property. These property lines up here, what I'm going to call the north side of the site. This will remain wooded, just as it was explained earlier. But we'll have additional area here that would be planted with deciduous or evergreens. This triangular piece here would remain as it is with the existing trees to stay. And then this lot line here, where we would put in the 20-foot buffer of plantings. So this is what the DCP has determined to try to address the concerns that we've heard this week, and demonstrate that we want to do whatever we can to help alleviate the concerns and work with people to the extent we can, but also still be able to construct and operate the facility in accordance with the safety and security requirements that they face. I want to just show the same thing, only using a little different format. This is the same information put on an aerial photograph. The color isn't so hot, but I think what this at least helps me visualize that, in fact, the amount of trees cover that will remain surrounding the facility. You've got this L-shaped group of trees here, you've got this, these trees here, you have this strip of trees here, a little bit more there. So it's the same thing, but again, using the aerial photograph, I think it helps see that, you know, how much tree cover will remain surrounding the facility, and will, it does help to reduce and mitigate visual impacts and reduce the number of locations in town really to fairly small areas. And then where those impacts, where you can see the facility, typically it's only a portion of the top of the tank. And then...
About wrapped up, Steve?
Yep, one more. And it's just trying to be helpful. We showed this the other night. This is from our 3D model of the facility. Again, I think it's just, to me, visually, it helps demonstrate the, you know, what's cleared, what the size of the major structures are. Obviously, all the detail is not built into this model, but those are certainly the major features of the site that you see there. And you can see what's cleared, where trees remain around the facility. Just threw that in there so that people who haven't seen it can take a look and see if that makes, you know, if that's a more understandable picture for you. And that's all I got.
Thank you. Let's
just one question.
I'll let you do it at the break.
All right. When it's been
at the break.
Okay.